What's up, y'all, and welcome back to Found Bites, a game review series. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. If you don't know about us, we're all about finding and testing out small, high-quality video games. This is a podcast that aims to respect your time and money as a gamer and a consumer by sifting through storefronts and sales to find those gems that may be worth your precious resources. But enough about the show. Let's get into our next game. K's and the Wild Masks is the game for this week's episode. K's, or Kaze, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it, I'm just going to keep saying K's. K's and the Wild Masks is a 2D retro action platformer from Pixel Hive that was released in 2021. And the game is available on PC, Mac, Switch, Xbox One, and PS4. What drew me to the game as I saw it in a sale was that it was just a simple platformer, kind of level by level, and then you go world by world. And as I'm playing through, I'm seeing a lot of comparisons with the original Donkey Kong Country games, even Super Mario World for SNES, as well as more recent games that we've talked about on the podcast, like Flynn, Son of Crimson, and Bat Boy. And it definitely has a collect-a-thon kind of feel to it, very similar to the original Crash Bandicoot games. The game released with an MSRP of $19.99 on console, but $14.99 on Steam. Interesting price difference there. That's what it sits at, sort of as like the base price right now. If you are playing through the game, just to kind of run through, one-shot it, could take you about 5 or 6 hours. If you want to get all the collectibles, might take you over 10. So getting that investment in there, probably to get the Platinum Trophy. I haven't looked at the trophy list, but I'm assuming collecting all of the stuff is a major thing there. I got it on sale on PS4 for $3.99, and I've been playing it on my PS5. My wife has been playing it on our PS4, and I've put in maybe between 2 and 3 hours, maybe even a little over three. I'm in like the second world. My wife is about the same, although I would expect her to kind of surpass me, actually. The game is available physically on all consoles, I believe from all retailers. I'm seeing it on like Target and Amazon for like $29.99. I'm not sure what's in the physical edition. I don't know if there's like a booklet or something. And like I said, the game was developed by Pixel Hive. This is a small team from Brazil, which is really cool. We've talked about a lot of games that were developed by Brazil teams, but not sure what they're working on now. Their website only really had this game, and I didn't really see anything about this game. I found out about it just because I saw it on sale, like I do with a lot of games. It would, again, look like a cool, simple platformer, homage to Donkey Kong Country, games like that, so I decided to give it a shot. Let's talk gameplay for K's and the Wild Masks. So like I said, this is a retro platformer, so it's going to have like you're on the overworld and you're picking a level and then you're going in level. Again, similar to a lot of games from the SNES era, but also more recent games like your Shovel Knight, your Bat Boy, things like that. So let's talk about the basics of just moving your character. So this would be like when you're in a level. So it's 2D, you're moving left or right. You can jump, and your character has sort of like a helicopter twirl because they have like these long bunny ears. And it works very similarly to Donkey Kong Country 2 and DK64. So whether that's Dixie Kong or Tiny Kong, having that sort of helicopter twirl, which can allow you to glide or slowly descend. You also have a ground pound. So whenever you're in the air, if you hit the same button that it is to flip your ears and press down at the same time, you can ground pound on an enemy or on something in the environment. And if you're not jumping or in the air, and you hit that button to flip your bunny ears, it'll just like do like a whip kind of spin, similar to like in Donkey Kong Country, whether it's Dixie or Diddy doing like the cartwheel. So you can hit enemies like that. As you're moving through the level, let's talk a little bit about progression, how it works. So similar to those old retro games, it's kind of a side-scrolling thing. You can move left to right. You can move back to the left where you might find secrets, maybe in like the beginning of the level. It's not something that you're going to do often, or even in the middle of a level, you're not really going to backtrack. You also might progress up or down depending on where the level takes you, so that can vary. And as you're going through the level, you're going to be doing a lot of platforming. And this is going to primarily be avoiding hazards that can hit you, avoiding pits, certainly avoiding enemies, which we'll talk about. But a lot of the things that you would be used to if you have played any of these types of games, so time jumps, you might have to wait for things, moving platforms, platforms that crumble, long delayed kind of jumps that you might have to do, and that might be related to sort of the helicopter twirl that you're doing. And then using the environments, again, this is very Donkey Kong Country. Like sometimes you might have a wind coming at you and slowing you. Sometimes it might be behind you, and so you're able to get more of a boost going sideways. Swinging from ropes, there could be tight ropes that are hanging, and it's really cool because your ears kind of flop over, similar to what Dixie Kong does. And so you might need to like slowly progress over a tightrope, or you might need to jump or lower yourself to a lower one, things like that. And then enemies, of course, are going to be there. Some of them are going to be stationary, just waiting for you not to hit them or to jump on them. Some could be patrolling back and forth on the platform that they're standing on. Some could be shooting projectiles. Some will be hanging out in the air. Some will be on the land. There'll be underwater things that we'll talk about. And for most of these, you jump on them to kill them, or you can spin with the ear flip right at them, and then you'll get rid of them. But there could also be limitations, like some enemies might have spikes on the top, some might have things in front and back of them, similar to Crash Bandicoot, where like you need to do it a special way, or you might not even be able to kill some of them. And this will become part of the platforming, as you might expect. So if you jump on them, you can kind of bounce, and then you'll move a little higher and a little forward, so you can kind of bounce some of them in succession. You might need to jump off of them to reach a higher platform at times. I would say very good consistency of the rules. And what I mean by that is, like, if you just bounce off of them, you won't be able to, like, helicopter from them. But if you jump as you bounce, you will be able to. That's something to keep in mind. Again, if you're an old school player in these sort of 2D retro platformers, this should be nothing new to you. You'll kind of suss this out in the first maybe 5-10 minutes. And then as you get some more advanced movesets, which we'll talk about, some of your characters might have a double jump or something like that. And again, this would kind of fall into the rules of what you do. It's very consistent. So like jumping off of things, needing to jump, or when you get the double jump and when you don't, depending on what you just came off of and what you're doing in the air. And a lot of the sequences that you're going to go through, very familiar. Again, a lot of homage to Donkey Kong Country. Certainly things that are tropes in this subgenre. So that could mean like, oh, you have to bounce off of three in a row and then jump up and twirl from a very high vantage point to get all the way to something. Or you might have to jump on a couple and then ground pound, because if you keep going at the rate you're going, you're going to hit spikes or something like that. So all kinds of things like that. And then, of course, you will get these masks, which are very interesting. Title of the game, Wild Masks. So these are not in every level, but in a lot of them, sort of halfway through the level, you're going to see this statue that has this mask, and it's kind of mandatory. You have to pick up the mask to progress through the rest of the level. And this is going to give you sort of advanced moveset or different abilities that will complicate the platforming a little bit. So some of these masks might give you a double jump, some might give you a wall grab, or a way to shoot from side to side when walking on the wall grab, or like a thrust forward or something like that. And these are going to be animal relevant. So like you might get the tiger mask or like the bird mask or the whatever. And then so you're going to kind of mimic a little bit of what that animal does. This really reminds me of Donkey Kong Country, because a lot of times, especially in the first game, you're like opening the wood box and then you're riding whatever the animal is, whether it be like the rhino or the parrot or the swordfish or whatever. In the later games, like 2 and 3, like you become the animals at times. So this is very similar to that. And a lot of the move sets that you're going to see are also very similar. So you will be the bird and you have to like keep pressing X to keep it propelled up, and it'll shoot something like a projectile in an arc, very similar to when you become Squawk or you're riding Squawk in Donkey Kong Country. Again, a lot of homage here to those games, and some of these will be in the air, some will be on the land, some will be underwater. But what is really interesting is that when you get one of these masks, the rest of the level is kind of different in terms of the challenge that you're going to be doing with platforming, and it consistently will increase that complexity in the challenge when you get that mask. So if you get the mask that has like a double jump or something like that, all of a sudden the rest of the level is now like really dependent upon that, and you're not going to be able to do a lot of your basic platforming that you could do when you didn't have the mask. So you're going to have to use that advanced platforming. And this is really level contained. It's not like you're going to gain the mask and can use it whenever, like Mega Man or something like that. And not every level is going to have it, like I said. So maybe every other level, or maybe like 2 out of 3 will have it halfway through. So once you get it, like you're going to have to use it the rest of the level. And then once you get there, you won't have it anymore when you go to the next level. Collection is, of course, going to be a very big thing. This is very much in line with the Crash Bandicoot games. So each level is going to have gems to collect, letters to collect, and bonus stages that you have to clear. The gems, this is pretty simple. There's going to be at least 100 of them plastered throughout the level. You have to collect 100, but most levels will have like 105 or 110 or even 115. So if you miss a couple, it's not that big of a deal. You just need to get 100. So this is kind of like in the Crash Bandicoots when you have the boxes, although you don't need to collect all of them, like I said. These are going to be laid out in trails at times, so like 3 in a row or 5 in a row. They're of course also helpful in like figuring out what arc to jump in, or you know, what way to progress, or things like that. Sometimes you'll see the small ones that are laid out in rows, big ones that count as like 10 or something like that. Sometimes you'll see, and the game introduces this to you nicely, kind of blue like sparkles or sprites or whatever kind of hovering in a circle a little bit. That's telling you that there are gems somewhere right there in the background. And so typically if you just do the ear flip and like spin through, that'll unlock them, and then you'll get all 5 or 10 of them. Sometimes it's concentrated on the ground and you need to do a ground pound. So the environment is really kind of trying to tell you like, hey, there's stuff here, you need to release it. You will need to collect 4 letters, K-A-Z-E. This is, of course, right out of Donkey Kong Country, collecting all of the Kong letters, and they'll be spaced out appropriately and in order, of course. And each level will also have 2 bonus stages that are kind of secret that you need to find, similar to in Donkey Kong Country, like you need to find the bonus barrel. These are not quite barrels. They're like these portals that of like broken rock that you'll get used to seeing. And when you get in them, it's going to be just like a Donkey Kong Country bonus level. It'll either be like collect all the gems or kill all the enemies or progress to the end or whatever. And then you'll collect 1 of the 2 pieces that make a diamond or whatever from beating the bonus levels in the level. What's tricky about these is these can kind of be hidden. A lot of times you'll see them like near the bottom of a pit. Like you might just see like the top part of it. Again, similar to the Donkey Kong Country bonus barrels. So you will have to kind of keep your eye out for these things. Sometimes they are behind like a wall. The game doesn't communicate that there are hidden walls that often, but like you might see holes in like a structure and you might see like a corner of it kind of sparkling a little bit. And that's telling you like, hey, something's over here. So maybe just walking into walls, seeing if there's a false wall where you can walk behind and get to this bonus entry thing. I did look up a couple of them in the first world, but after I got the hang of it, I was pretty much good. Although I am at a level now where I can't find either of them. So nice little challenge there, but you know, you gotta kind of keep your eyes peeled for these. And also, as you're progressing through the level, you will have your health and you can die. Really, if you get hit once, you're dead and then you restart. But if you collect like a heart, like sometimes there'll be gems and then you'll see like a heart piece. You just collect the heart. That's like 1 extra life. So you'll collect that heart and then you'll have like this thing following you, kind of like in Spyro, like you have a little dragonfly thing following you. So if you have that thing following you, that means you can take 1 hit and not die. But if you do get hit, whether by an enemy, whether by a hazard, and you don't have a heart, like you will die and you will go back to the beginning of the level. However, each level has a halfway point that has like a checkpoint. And so if you've gotten to that and then you die after that, you'll go back to the checkpoint in the middle. There were a couple sequences that I died a bunch for, especially when you get masks, they get really tough. You can also fall in a pit that would count as dying, so it's not just getting hit by things. Especially in the bonus levels, you can fall in the pit, which is really the way that you might die in a bonus level. But what's nice is if you die in the bonus level, you can just hit retry. So you don't have to worry about like going back to the beginning of the level if you're in the bonus level, so that's nice. And then there are more advanced things, kind of special challenges, and I didn't even realize these existed until I did it. So if you go through a whole level and don't get hit, you'll get like a special crown thing that will show up in the overworld screen. And then once you do beat a level, you can go back into that level and then there's a time trial. So again, right out of like Crash Bandicoot. So in a given level, there's a lot of different things that you can collect or like get rewarded for. And these will appear on the overworld screen. Like it'll show like, oh, if you have all the letters, it'll make like a gold hexagon. If you have all the bonus stages, it'll make a green diamond. If you have all of the gems or got all 100, it'll have like this purple, I don't know, kind of rupee shaped thing. And then if you did a no hit, you'll get the crown. I haven't done the time trials yet. There's like a gold, silver, bronze time to get through. Some of these are really tough. I actually tried one of them on an early level and I could not get it. Just be mindful of that. I don't know what all is involved in getting like all the trophies. I would imagine like doing all of this for all the levels is required to do that, but I'm not sure. But let's talk about pacing in general. So we kind of talked about going through a level. So you're going to see sort of like a straight line path of beating all of the levels. And each world will have like 5 or 6 in a row that you need to beat. And then a boss at the end. Again, very similar to like a Donkey Kong Country. You have to progress through and then get the boss. And then you'll be able to go on to the next world. Now, what's interesting is that if you get all of the bonus levels, like collect all of the green diamond for each level, for all the levels in a world, you'll unlock like a special level in that world, which is like another thing to beat. And this can be a little more challenging. It doesn't really have all the other collectibles. But again, just sort of going in line with that collectathon mentality, like you want to get all the stuff so you can unlock all the stuff so then you can get all the stuff, so on and so forth. But again, the goal of each world is to go through all the levels and then get to the boss, and then you'll face the boss. And this is, again, right out of these games, kind of an interesting platform sequence that you have to go through in the boss fight. And it's going to be like hit them 3 times, you know, very Nintendo. And then once you do beat that boss, you'll go and be able to travel to the next world. What is nice is different from Donkey Kong Country. At any time when you're on the level screen, you can pop out to the world screen and go back to any other level or any other world, which is nice. You don't have to find like a Funky's Flights or anything like that. Each world is going to be like a different biome or a different environment. So the first one, I guess, is more like foresty, and then you get to the wintry one, and then so on and so forth. And a steady challenge increase, I would say, although I think it's really when you get the masks in the level where the challenge really shines. But overall, I would say don't sleep on this game. Like, I played a level or two and then I downloaded it onto the PS4 so my wife could play. And so I was like, yeah, you should play this. Like, I feel like you'll like this. This is pretty, you know, simple platforming like the retro games. And then once I started playing more levels, I was really like finding it tough. So this game sneaks up on you in terms of challenge, which is nice. But also it is consistently tough from the beginning. I think it presents itself with very simple mechanics, but it does have a consistent sort of difficulty level. On that topic, in terms of accessibility, as you start the game, there is an option to choose casual mode or standard mode. I chose standard. And again, as I played through a level or two and my wife was starting, I was like, yeah, just play standard. It's not that tough. And then we soon realized we were mistaken. I don't know the difference with casual mode. It says like, oh, play casual mode just for the story or something like that. I don't know what is different, but I would imagine it is a little less difficult to get through a lot of these platforming challenges. So if you just want to kind of play through and this is something to just kind of pass the time, maybe you want to play casual mode. But if you're old school SNES or even NES gamer, like standard, you'll be pretty much right at home. What also is nice in terms of the collecting is that once you get it in a level and then beat that level, you have it. So even if you only got like 3 of the letters for K's, It's nice that it tracks that. And so if you miss one of them, you only need to go through the level and get that one letter. That's making it a little bit easier for you. If you do get it in the level and then die in the level, you do have to get the letter again, because I think it's in sequence. But if you beat the bonus stage in a level and then die, it will keep that you beat that bonus stage. So that's really nice. You don't have to go through that sequence. And of course, you can check all of this on the world map. As you move to each level, it'll show you like, it'll split like the letter gem into four sections, and then you can kind of guess which letter you don't have, because it goes like top left, top right, bottom left, bottom right. So if you're missing the bottom right, that means you're missing the E, I guess. And same thing goes for the bonus stages. Like, it's two halves of a diamond. So if you have the left half, that means that you missed the second bonus, and so on and so forth. So indicators there are really nice, just kind of providing full transparency to make sure that you're collecting all the stuff, or you know what you didn't collect. Just to keep tabs on that. Let's talk about the vibe of K's and the Wild Masks, and let's start with the visuals. This game is very colorful, and I mean everything. The environments, the characters, the enemies, the different icons for what you've collected, all super colorful. And just thinking of you, your character, you're like this bunny, I guess, and you're like blue or purple, and it's a little lighter on the inside of your ears or at certain points, but interesting color choices that really pop. The enemies, some of these are bright orange, red, or green. The environment's very rich in colors and almost like a bit abnormal, like not typical. So like when you're in the cold areas, like the thorny vines are like bright blue alongside the white snow. Like you're in the thick green forest, but sometimes the forest is like glowing. If there are fires or things like that, so like a bright orange really hitting you. So really trying to push that color palette. And the contrast between different things really show making things very evident, whether it's like the sparkling of things you need to ground pound or stuff like that. Like having all of these very interesting colors contrasting each other really allows you to differentiate between things that you have to interact with or do. I will say the platforms are kind of more dull and more grounded, almost like a brown, like square stone-like things. Very simple compared to the environments, which I guess is a good thing. Because again, that differentiation is really important. You're getting the sense of the environment and the forest or whatever is behind you, but knowing where you can sit is kind of more grounded, which is nice. And of course, indicators, things to draw your attention. Like I said, the gems, the letters, they stand out. The letters are like these very bright gold squares. Again, very similar to Kong. As well as on the overworld, the icons that you're missing, you know, things that are blacked out so you know what you're missing. And sort of the different colors that have been established that like this gem is this color, this gem is this color. There is some pixelation. I think it's mainly on you. It's not much, but the environments and the enemies and things like that, very crisp edges. Again, super colorful, but not like cartoony. I would say caricature wise, that's definitely in play, but not like, you know, overly like Looney Tune animations or something like that. It reminds me a lot of Mega Man X, especially as you're just sitting there and the environments around you. Slight pixelation in you, but everything else is really kind of fully rendered. The enemies are interesting visually. We talked about caricatures. All of the enemies are pretty much like some kind of produce, and they're like oversized. Like there's carrots, there's tomatoes, I guess, or peas in a pod, things like that. I don't know what is the deal, because you're a bunny, maybe the bunny and the carrot, things like that. But your character is certainly interesting. These big floppy ears, wearing these Sonic shoes. Like it looks like, especially as you twirl, it reminds me a lot of just like Sonic kind of speeding up and going. And the environments, things that are typical, like I said, forests, snowy environments. But then as you get to some of the later levels, like really interesting combinations, like very dusky sky at one point, like a burning forest I talked about, and like the fumes coming up from the bottom, savannas that you'll see, like really interesting, not just like basic environments, but like really trying to put some more emphasis on them, or, you know, that things are kind of happening in real time, like things that you might not be used to seeing. And it kind of gets into sort of the themes and the setting. I don't really know much about the story, or there is a cutscene in the beginning that I may have skipped or may have kind of glazed over, but I'm not really getting a lot of context for things. I don't know what's going on with you versus the vegetables, because when you do kill any of the enemies, my wife actually pointed this out, like when you kill a big carrot, it shrinks into a normal size carrot and then just sits there. I didn't really notice that at first, but super interesting. I don't know what the deal is, if some evil power, like, you know, took over all the produce and made them large and enemies and stuff like that. But you are also collecting these masks, or at least you're using them. I don't know if it's like the power of animals and saving the land. It's not clear to me, but I don't really care. I'm not really that invested in the story. I'm just kind of in it for the gameplay. But everything that I'm seeing certainly is entertaining. And then finally, in terms of audio, really like the music in this game. Really great. It's very Crash Bandicoot. It's silly. It's fun. It's upbeat a lot of the times, even as you're waiting on like the overworld menu. It's like, you know, super, it's getting you into it. A lot of bass bumps, a lot of xylophone stuff, and some guitars at times, like electric guitar, all just dependent upon, you know, the setting of the level, the individual levels. But overall, I just feel like it makes it fun and alive and also lighthearted, maybe sort of kind of kid friendly, I guess, but certainly nostalgic and reminiscent of a lot of these games. A lot of the riffs are satisfying, like when you die, it's like do 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 do, or when you beat a level, you know, kind of nice upbeat things that really make you feel satisfied. Not a lot of sound effects I'm hearing, nothing like standing out from enemies, like when they die or things like that. That's really like kind of the small touches that made Donkey Kong Country so satisfying, like when you bounce on a gremlin, it's like wow, things like that, or when you hit the big guys, or, you know, the guys that beat their chest, maybe. Not really hearing a lot of that here, but overall, really good music, and it really captures the feel of the game as you're playing it, and sort of energizes you, which is really what you want. All right, let's wrap up the conversation about K's and the Wild Masks. This is a great 2D platformer, a great collectathon that really pulls heavy at nostalgia. Again, Donkey Kong Country, Crash, really pulling at that and doing a really good job, I think, really paying homage. It's definitely not trying to hide its inspiration, and there's nothing wrong with that. And what's nice about the game, I think it's a simple setup, great transparency and tracking with what you're collecting, which is super nice, and uniformity throughout the levels. Like, you know, when you go into each level, you know you're going to have to find the bonus stages. You know you need to find the letters. Again, very similar to Donkey Kong Country. And of course, it has a fun, silly vibe, super colorful, high quality with the music. The game is challenging, though. Despite a limited move set on the surface, I feel like it doesn't really try to reinvent the wheel, but the levels get really challenging. The platform sequences are really tough, especially once you get the masks. Again, some of these I died 10, 15 times. That's really where my wife is struggling a little bit, but it is satisfying when you get it, and it is nice to see her kill a level after like 10, 15 tries with a certain mask and have that satisfaction, although she might disagree that it's more frustrating. In terms of value, I think $20 is tough for this game for an MSRP. I think $15 is better. I'm not sure why the price difference, Steam versus console, but I think $15 is the better MSRP. I probably wouldn't pay over $10 for this game. Again, I love Donkey Kong Country and a lot of those old 2D platformers. I feel like a lot of games try to replicate what those games did. This game does it really well, but still remains simple in its scope. yet having the challenge. So I think that's really tough to do. I'm not somebody who, you know, seeks this experience. Like, if I'm trying to play Donkey Kong Country, I will pull up Donkey Kong Country. Like, I have my SNES set up. I have all three of those games. I'm not going to look for an imitation very often for this, but I really enjoyed playing this game, and I enjoyed jumping back to that nostalgia. And my wife did too, honestly. And I think she'll wind up probably playing this game more than I will. I would like to beat it. I probably won't do all the things and get all the collectibles and do all of the no-hit runs and stuff like that, so I probably won't get the Platinum Trophy, but I'll be interested to see how much she goes into this, because I like to see her challenge herself, but I appreciate that this game exists and it tries to pay homage. Again, not something I would seek, but something that I would really recommend for people, especially if they love those older games, because I think this game is great for anyone, nostalgia or not. So I do highly recommend this game. Alright, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Stay tuned for our next episode to see what new game we found for you.